to the old me, scared and unseen. You're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This is keep it real, keep it purpose bound. Every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Meeting is being recorded.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Keeping It Real on Purpose, and I am your host, Edna White. This is the place where real people talk about real things and share real stories, all on purpose. And today we're so excited to have Dwayne McHodgkins, who is an author of Lessons from the Business Heroes of the Pandemic. I will tell you early, audience, very good read, but I'll let him share that with you. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ed. I'm happy to be here.
Great. I'm so excited that you're here. So, Dwayne, tell me how you show up in the world.
Boy, I'm an entrepreneur. I worked for myself, done it for about 12 years. I got to the point where I didn't like the way things were going in the corporate world. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to create something of my own. And it's been fantastic. Shortly after doing that, both of my kids who were teenagers at the time, they said, "Wow, Dad, you're not as grouchy as you used to be." So I think I'm doing the right thing.
Yes, that's a great sign. Good one. All right. So could you tell us the story or your story behind the lessons from the Business Heroes?
So my business is that I'm in IT. I fix computers. So
okay.
During COVID, I was really busy. I mean, my phone was ringing off the hook. I was working from early to late, helping people move their businesses to home. You know, how can I work on the computer in the office when I'm out doing all that kind of stuff? And then they didn't have IT. So then, you know, helping them do all that kind of stuff. So I was very busy, but I've built my business through networking with other business owners. And so I have a lot of friends that have their own businesses, and there were so many of them that were struggling during the pandemic because they had to close their business or their business was really slow. So one day I'm driving around
and
the phrase "business heroes of the pandemic" just kind of hit me in the face. And I started looking at different businesses that didn't just roll over and say, "There's nothing we can do." They were the businesses that said, "You know what? We're going to reinvent ourselves. We're going to pivot. We're going to turn things around." And so I started collecting stories of all the places that I saw that were doing it correctly. And then I interviewed people.
Right.
I ended up interviewing 12 different people for the book. And a lot of them were friends, but some of them were people that I'd never met before. And how I found them when I was interviewing my friends, the last question that I would ask is, "Who do you know that I should know?" And
I'm stealing that.
Okay. And you know, they would give me, and some of those people were like the company that helped me self-publish my book. That was one of them that I was introduced to. Other ones were other businesses. They said, oh, you need to talk to her. So things like that. And I spent 6 months during COVID. I was so frustrated with how things were going. I shut off the TV. I couldn't watch TV. All I would do is yell at it. So I shut it off, and I didn't even watch the NFL. I was a big football fan. I didn't even watch the NFL. And I was spending about an hour a morning writing my book. Did that for 6 months. Mm-hmm. Then I went through the edit process and the design process. That took about 3 months. And then the next thing I know, I'm getting the draft copy in the mail from Amazon. It's like, oh my gosh.
Excellent.
You're holding this book. And it's like, wow, I created this. And
yeah,
launched it. It's been fantastic. Yeah.
Good. Well, I love how you break down what you've learned from all of those heroes in rules. So of course, I did go to rules, which I loved, all of them. But where's the one I turned in? Okay, so the one that I thought was so I liked first was rule number one, always be looking for ways to reinvent yourself or your business, the back to the drawing board model. Can you share something about that rule with my audience and I?
Yeah, so that's where it really all started. And looking at that, I talked a lot about companies that didn't do that. Mm-hmm. One of those being Blockbuster Video. Oh my gosh.
Ooh. Yeah, I saw that. I was like, ooh.
There were thousands of Blockbuster Videos, and there's one left.
Yeah.
One store still has that name, and they're Oregon, Washington, somewhere up there. I can't remember now. But yeah, that's the only one left out of almost 10,000 stores. And, you know, we all know what happened. When Blockbuster was doing it, Netflix came along. And Netflix, when you tell the kids this, they laugh at you. But, you know, Netflix started out, they would deliver in the mail DVDs to you. And, in fact, they'll still do that to you. There's a lot of places, rural areas, that they'll do that and they'll send them back and forth in the mail. But, you know.
Right.
Of course, Blockbuster thought, well, that's kind of ridiculous. They're not going to be around long. Well, they didn't pivot, but Netflix did. You know, they reinvented themselves. They figured out a better way. And look at now, they're a household name, and Blockbuster is a. Oh yeah, I remember those guys from a long time ago.
Yeah, they were over here. Yeah. I remember them. Yeah, you know, the other day I saw. I don't know where. Oh, I was at a Walgreens.
Okay.
And in front of the Walgreens was the red box. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, no.
There's those. Some of those are still around. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like no. That I can't even see anybody kind of even going and renting them. I can't.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, the pandemic. I think the pandemic changed a lot of those things.
It really did. And then I also talked about Sears. Oh my gosh, Sears.
Yeah,
was the
how it was around forever. Then it just disappeared.
Forever. They had the huge catalog. You know, I remember every year we would get that. And okay, because toys growing up, it's the only place you'd find toys.
Yep.
And only
absolutely. Yep.
There's many houses in this country that were sold out of the Sears catalog, and it would come on a train and they'd drop it off and it would be built. In older areas of cities, you still see those houses. The houses survived.
Yeah,
they pretty much didn't because they got to a point where they didn't pivot. So,
that's important. Pivoting. You're so right. That's so very important. And then you said something on Sears. I remember how my mom used to like go and buy the clothes because the clothes were so tough and she's like, they last longer and I can pass it down to the next one.
Yep.
You know, but I remember Sears so much. And when, the last one we had was the tire company. Remember they had the tires part, and that even closed. I was like, and you're right. I didn't think of it then, but they didn't pivot when they should have pivoted. Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Now, where is my chapter at? I'm talking about the hustle. Where is that?
Oh, that's number three. Chapter three.
Yeah, okay. Rule number three. Everybody needs a side hustle. Yes.
Yeah.
Tell the audience about that. That's a good one. It's a good one.
Yeah. So with that one, you know, let's say you worked for one of those companies. You know, in fact, my wife at one time did work for a franchisee of Blockbuster. She was doing their payroll. Yeah. And we watched they had over 500 stores, and we watched them shrink to just about nothing, and then she had to get another job. Well, you know, what if you're not in the HR and you don't see that kind of stuff coming? You need to have something else going on, you know. No one knows what's going to happen tomorrow in any company. Right now, I've got my own business, but you know what? That's not the only thing I do. I wrote a book, right? Okay. I'm working on some other books. I have a few other irons in the fire because you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. So if you're relying on just one source of income, what happens if that income goes away? You're left with nothing.
Absolutely.
So, you know, if you can find something, anything, you know, and a lot of times people take hobbies. I know guys that they really love sports. They love kids' sports. So they go and they get licensed to be referees for these kids' sports leagues. So they get a little bit of money. Okay. They're doing something they really enjoy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they save some of that money, pay off some of their bills, things like that, if there's a problem at their main job, at least they've got something to fall back on a little bit. You know, maybe they could parlay that into maybe working for a high school or even a college, you know, something like that. But there's so many different things. Even the people that are doing the Uber Eats, delivering pizzas, whatever it is, do something so that if your main one goes away, because, you know, you hear about the stories where people show up one day, I can't get in the door, it's locked.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now there's five or six employees standing outside, and they're going, huh? And they call the manager, and the manager's like, sorry.
No.
It happens.
Yeah, it happens. Yeah, it happens.
You know, if you don't have something to fall back on, boy, you're really be in a lot of trouble. So I always tell people to find something. The other thing about a side hustle is this. Let's say you are interested in making a move to a different career. And instead of just making that jump, maybe you take on a part-time job or even a volunteer at that as kind of a side hustle to see if you really like it and see if it's something that you want to do or not. So another good reason for a side hustle.
Yeah, that's good. So I know that I was interviewing another person, and we're having this conversation. So he said to me, his mentor told him that there's 33 ways to bring it revenue into your business.
Okay.
So I was like, wait, what? So I got all like excited. I was like, tell me. Like, and he says, I must confess, I'm only doing one.
Oh,
and
no.
And he said, I am ashamed of myself. You outed me. I outed myself on. And so he had to change his whole. And right now he's like, it's such a different place.
Yeah.
Because I asked him that question. It sparked off in him. But it gave me away. So now in my business as a life coach, I literally, you know, because I've written 25 books, I've got, you know, got online courses, I'm teaching, you know, you're doing all these things, but they all are really the same thing, just a different way to do them.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to make, you know, I'm up to number 10. So I want to, if I can make 33, I'll make 33.
Yeah, 22 to go there. Yeah. I'm going to have to look for those.
What?
I know I'm not doing all that I can.
And that's what he said to me. He said, I must admit.
That's funny.
Like he told me, I must admit that.
Yeah, when I was writing this book and I was putting all of my ideas, I would go back through and I would read and I'm like, you know what? I'm not doing that. I need to make sure I'm doing that. So there were a few things that I did like that too.
Isn't it something? Yeah. Isn't it something when you write a book or when you're doing something, whether it be course or whatever, and you go, oh my goodness, I'm not doing that. And I'm telling somebody else to do it. So I better go back to the drawing board and get on board and then start, you know, creating. But that's a great thing. I love how in back of each one of them, you do a recap. Yeah. And then you have questions that you can actually do the work.
Yep.
So I like that. Like in this book, I really do like this. And the last one I like, and I lost it because I'm playing with the book. The last one that I like, hold on, is this it? Oh, yes. As a life coach, many people that I meet, they don't like to ask for help. And you just brought it out in this. And this was the rule number 10.
Yep.
Don't be afraid to ask for help. Share that with our audience.
Yeah. So I called that No Man Is an Island. And you know, that's true. For me, so my business is just me. I do not have any employees. And that was a choice that I made because I used to be in sales and sales management. I said, enough of that. I don't want to go down that road anymore.
Yeah.
So because of that.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Who do I have to help me in my business? Nobody, right? So I got involved
in... You!
Not me. I got involved in networking groups. And when I go to these groups, it's other business owners. And many times we'll just sit there and, you know what? I'm having a problem with this. Oh, right. I dealt with that before. This is what I did, you know, right. or hey, how do you market your business? How do you get new customers? You know, and we'll throw around ideas and everybody leaves those meetings going, wow, that was great. I've got two pages of notes here. So
yeah, right. That's really good.
That's really important. Another thing is, so we all know that world-class athletes, they get a coach, right? And that coach pushes them and pushes them to be so much better. But business owners, or maybe you're not even a business owner, maybe you're a salesperson, or maybe you want to go further in your job, whatever the case may be, get some help. There's nothing wrong with getting a business coach. If you're an employee at a company, and sometimes they have resources, you know, a lot of companies have mentorships where someone that's more seasoned in the company will help you and bring you up in the company. And those are great. But if you don't have that, find a coach. You know, there's SCORE, Service Corps of Retired Executives.
Yeah.
That's a great resource. Here you have all these people that have retired and they're sitting there on the sidelines going, I still want to play.
Yeah.
So they get in and they help out small businesses that are just starting out and give them that lift. So, you know, get some help. I've had a business coach for 3 or 4 years now. And it seems like my relationship with my business coach, at certain times, she's really pushing me and I'm really taking off with things. Then there's other times where I'm kind of like, I'm really busy. I don't have time for this. And, you know, it'll come back around and then we'll really push again. You know, and you need that regardless of where you are in your career.
Uh-huh.
If you have that, you will go farther.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's very important. What's your favorite rule?
My favorite one is rule number 11.
And
it's stay positive, and it's the pro-noia model. And while I was writing this book, I stumbled upon pro-noia, which for all of your listeners, so pro-noia is basically the opposite of paranoia. Pro-noia is the belief that the universe is basically conspiring on your behalf to help you.
Always,
And I don't, I'm not saying that you should put on rose-colored glasses and everything is always wonderful, and because it's not. But and this is something I've told my kids from when they were really young. It's not what happens to you, it's how you react to it.
Yeah.
So you don't have a choice about what happens to you many times, but you do have a choice on how you react to that. So I tell some good stories in there about people that reacted good, people that reacted bad. You know, it's just none of the rules in this book will work for you and help you if you don't have a positive attitude. And again, I'm not saying that you wake up every morning and the sun is shining, the birds are singing, and it's a wonderful day. Because no, there are days you wake up and it's not a good day. But don't let that 10 minutes of a bad day ruin the whole rest of the day. If you can bounce back from those things, not let those things affect you, you will be so much farther than all of the competition.
Right. Absolutely. Well, audience, we are talking to the author, Dwayne McHodgkins, about his book, Lessons from the Business Heroes of the Pandemic. And he has rules, and they are. So what I would tell you, go out and buy this. So, Dwayne, what is happening for you on the horizons? Let our audience know.
So I've got another book in the works. I actually have a couple books in the works, but the next one that will be out, it's on leverage. So leverage, a few years back, I did the whole thing where instead of making a bunch of goals, I decided to focus on a word for the year.
Okay.
I focused on leverage. Now, a lot of people think, well, you know, leverage, that's kind of like taking advantage. Well, no, it's not. And I actually have it on the board behind me. It's leverage is use something to its maximum advantage. Okay.
Okay.
So if you have a tube of toothpaste, you're going to roll that in and you're going to
squeeze it all out.
That's leveraging your toothpaste. Yes. So, and when I did this for the year that I did that, my business really took off, because what I found out, and a lot of the stuff in some of these chapters came from that. I found out that with my business, I was leaving money on the table. So I would go to a customer and they'd say, "Hey, what's a good antivirus product?" And I would tell them the one that I liked the best. And then I would go online and help them buy it. And, you know, that company was saying, "Hey, thanks, you know," and I'm getting, you know, I recommended this one probably 15, 20 times. So then I did a little research and I found out they have a partner program.
So that's one of my things. Anything with an affiliate.
So now I'm a reseller of that. So the price that my customers pay didn't go up at all. They're paying the exact same thing. The only difference is, now I get some commission instead of
that. That's right.
Yeah. So, you know, that I leverage that. So now my business, I'm making more money in my business because I'm selling things. And I've found a number of products where I can do that. So that's the next thing I'm doing is a book.
Okay. All right. Wonderful. So how can the audience find you? Like, what's your social media and everything?
So, everything that I do is on one, I call it a link page. It's really a website with 10 boxes. Okay. It's at calldwayne.com.
Okay.
So I was,
That's simple enough. Calldwayne.com. Simple and easy.
Yeah.
Simple and easy.
It's got a link to my book. It's got a link to all of my social media on there. So it's all there.
Gotcha. Wonderful. Okay, So what encouraging words could you give to business owners or whomever is in the audience? The last and final encouraging words you can give them.
You know, what I said before, it's not what happens to you, it's how you react to it. So, okay. You know, if you wake up in the morning and say, it's going to be a great day,
It is.
You wake up and say, oh man, it's another Monday. This is going to be terrible. Well, yeah.
And it will be.
Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right.
Right. Yeah. No matter what. Right. That is so good. That's so good, Dwayne. We want to thank you. This brings us to the end of the show. We want to thank you, Dwayne, for being here, sharing your lessons from the business heroes of the pandemic. All the rules, I think all the way to 11, and he has a little bit more rules, other rules in the back. So you can't miss this, okay? We don't want you to miss this. So get the book. Read about it, get the rules and apply them, because some of the things that he just told me, I'm taking. Leverage, taking. I'm taking that. Definitely taking that and adding it to my repertoire and to grow my business and to grow myself. So thank you all for being here. Remember, you can reach out to me in any social media, EJW Coaching, all over, everywhere. Find out what I'm doing, and remember to always have fun in what you're doing. This is Edna White and my guest, Dwayne Mick Hodgkins, saying goodbye for now.
Thanks.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.